God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Well, I've been looking forward to this. Even though Robert is here, I've been looking forward to it. And it's a joy to be here. What a great fellowship, ladies. That meal was excellent. We appreciate that. You're going the kind of the extra mile. It was a joy to experience that and the good fellowship that we enjoyed. You know, I'm really excited tonight about the topic that's been assigned, joy in our future hope. We're going to look at some things tonight that I hope will be uplifting to all of us. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, listen, we're talking about the future. We've got something as Christians that the people of the world don't have. And it's exciting. And God wants us to experience. And when I was assigned this topic, I said, oh, yes. I said, I like that topic. The joy of our hope. You see, we've got hope, and there's joy in that hope. I'm reminded of the man who was crawling through the desert. He was thirsting to death. He needed water badly. He was down on his hands and knees, and he was just crawling. And all of a sudden, out in the desert, he looked up, and there was a man standing there, and he was selling neckties. And the guy looked, and the salesman looked at him. He said, sir, would you like to buy a nice necktie? He said, no, man. I don't want to buy a necktie. He said, I need water. I'm thirsting to death. The salesman said, I have no water. And so he said, man. And so the kept crawling hands and knees through the sand out in the middle of the desert. All of a sudden, he looks up and there's a beautiful restaurant. And he thought at first it was a mirage. You know, he said, he looked again, but it was real. And so he used the last ounce of strength that he had to get to the door. He got up, he pulls himself up there, and he looks at, there's a doorman there. The doorman's standing there, and he said, oh, please. He said, I need water. I need water. The doorman looked at him and said, sorry, gentlemen are not admitted without a necktie. Now, I don't know. I've had days kind of like that, you know, in my life. And I don't know, maybe some of you have in your life. It's sort of like the old cliche, you can't win for losing. But how refreshing it is to come to God's Word and read the comfort that He offers to us concerning our hope, concerning our future. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for who? For those who love Him. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord and you've been obedient to the Lord, you have an amazing future. And in the time we've got tonight, we want to talk about that. Our future hope should cause each of us to experience victory living. How many of you consider yourself living victoriously? How many of you consider tonight, right now, if we were to get to talking about you, say, hey, Brother DeMar, man, isn't it great with this victory living that we have as Christians? God wants us to experience victory living. God wants us to realize that we have a blessed future ahead of us. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the earth. Now, I want to ask you, are you happy? Well, I'm not saying that Christians, that there's not times when we shed tears. There's not times when we're heartbroken, saddened. But as a general way of life, are you happy? That one man was always unhappy. He was always unhappy. And they said to him one time, some of the brethren said, why is it you're always unhappy? He said, well, he said, I can't be happy here on this earth. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be happy. Hey, listen. Oh, God wants you to be happy right now. God wants you to experience the joy of your hope. And we're going to talk about hope tonight. Christ is preparing a mansion, a dwelling place for His followers. Now, you know, this word mansion, when you... the definition of that word mansion is I think some people think they, in heaven, we get the idea, in heaven He's preparing a mansion. But the word mansion means a dwelling place. Now, we sing the song, I've Got a Mansion. It says, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that mansion, in that where the ransom would shine, listen, this is the carnal side of us in the songs we say. I want a gold one, that silver lined. Folks, I think we need to say, God, just let me dwell there. Just give me a dwelling. Oh, God, it doesn't have to be gold and silver lined. I just want to be in heaven with You. I just want to be in heaven with You. When we sing the song, Showers of Blessings, Showers of Blessings. It says, mercy drops round us are falling. Listen to the carnal side of man. But oh, for the showers we plead. We're not satisfied with mercy drops. We want the showers of mercy. So we have to watch and we have to control ourselves about our attitudes about the future. But I believe heaven, from what I've understood in my studies of the Bible all these years, and as I prepared this, I got this lesson together especially for tonight, I'm telling you, heaven is beyond your wildest imagination. I have not seen. You're going to hear this a lot tonight. I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. It hasn't entered the heart of man what God has prepared for us. There is a rest promised to the people of God. Listen to Hebrews 4 and verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Listen to Hebrews 4 and 11. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The joy of our hope enables us to say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118 at verse 24. If you woke up this morning and you happened to read the obituaries and your name wasn't listed, you need to say, hey, this is my day. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't God wonderful? Amen, brother. God is awesome. God is wonderful, and isn't our world we live in magnificent? The beauty of this earth is amazing. And we need to understand that the most beautiful scene that you can remember in your own personal experience and mind, something in the future is going to make that look really not much. Oh, listen, we can't imagine. It's beyond our imagination what God is preparing for us. Folks, I think Paul is saying here, he's saying, we haven't seen anything yet. That's what he's saying. He's saying, that scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, he said, you haven't seen anything yet. You just think you have. We can't imagine the good things that await us as the followers of Jesus Christ. And isn't that refreshing to your soul? I know that it is to mine. Our future hope, it's real and it is exciting. Paul tells us that the things of this world, which we think are so wonderful, are but a foretaste of greater things to come. Now, the reason we have difficulty in imagining the next world is because, let's just be honest, we have a hard time as human beings imagining in our mind that there's something more beautiful than what we've already seen. God's blessed our family, my wife and I, and our children. We've traveled around a large portion of our world, and we've seen some scenes, some scenery, and been in places. It's amazing the beauty of our world. So sometimes it's hard to imagine how could heaven be any better than that, you know, when we look at it. But you know, I'm reminded of the man in Vermont. He said there wasn't anything more beautiful than the sunrise over the mountains of Vermont. He said this statement. He said, "I cannot imagine heaven, anything in heaven, being more beautiful than a sunrise, an early morning sunrise over the green mountains of Vermont." But I got something to tell that man. The Bible says you haven't seen anything. Oh, that's beautiful, no doubt. But heaven is going to be more so. David, the psalmist, said it this way: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Psalms 19 at verse 1. How true this is. But when we read from God's word, we read things that allow us, passages like this. For instance, Hebrews 4:9. He says, "There therefore remains a rest for the people of God." There's coming a time when we can rest from our labors and our works do follow us. Listen to Revelation 14:13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Why do you think God says, work while it's day? Work while it's day here on this earth. The night's coming when no man can work. We need to work, work, work. W-O-R-K. We need to be busy. When the Holy Spirit called out Paul and Barnabas, he says, "I'm calling them out for the W-O-R-K, for the work that they were to do." We need to be busy, 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 busy. And one day, God says that you will have rest. Brethren, God is preparing a city. Listen to Hebrews 11:16. "But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Listen, brother, sister, brother, sister, God's preparing a city for you. He's preparing a city for me. And he says, in this city, we will have rest. Listen to John 14:1-4. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, I don't know what that does to you. I'm from Mobile, and we would say down there, that excites the fire out of me. Why? Why does that excite me? Jesus said I was going to be able to be with him where he is. And when we think about that, we're talking about the joy of our hope. I have hope that one day I will be with him. And I will be there with him throughout eternity. God's word tells us of things to come, of how they will. The things that are coming are going to exceed the experiences we have here and some of our most joyful and blessed experiences are going to be superseded by the experiences we will have. God talks about our commonality of those who love and believe in him. Listen to Philippians 3:20-21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." Philippians 3:20-21. Listen, our lowly bodies, that one translation says our vile body, our vile or lowly body is going to be transformed. And it's going to be like His, Jesus' glorious body. And listen, I wish I had time. This is a point off the thing. listen, we're going to have bodies. We're not going to be like Casper the ghost, just a wisp in the air, you know, a little smoke, a little going around, you know. No. We're going to have bodies, glorious bodies that don't age and don't get sick and that will never die. Oh, yes. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There is going to be a better day. Oh, we need the joy of our hope. Our hope is in heaven, where we'll have a glorious body, like Christ's glorious body. God tells us of the pureness and the immortality that will be ours. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen, we have an inheritance in heaven. Not like the premillennialists teach. Not like the rapturists teach. Our inheritance is in heaven, not on this earth. And God is preparing. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He says that there will be pureness and immortality for us there. Don't you want to go to heaven? I want to ask that again. Just, you don't have to answer it out loud, but don't you really want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. And that's why I was excited when I was assigned this topic. God tells us how it will be to be like Christ. It's one thing to be like Christ, but we're supposed to be like Him, and we're striving to be like Him, but we're going to be with Him. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, that we shall be, listen to it, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2. The Bible says in Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Revelation 3:21. Now, secondly tonight, what is it that causes us to forget God? I think that we get caught up with the world, and you can mark it down, friends. Listen to me. You get caught up with this world and you will forget God. Forgetfulness of God is the reason for all the wickedness of the wicked. Oh, we see it on television every day. We see some wicked people. I tell my wife, I said, that person, I get like this, they're wicked. And all the wickedness of the wicked is because they've forgotten God. They put God out of their lives. But here, I'm talking to people who love God. We've got a hope. They don't have a hope one. And we have a hope. The beauty and the glory of this world is but a foretaste of the wondrous things that await us. The love of our family and our friends, it's just a pale shadow of the love of Almighty God for us. Everything we count in this world as good, it is but an inferior imitation of that which is to come. This reminds us not to worship the things of this world. It reminds us to love God. It reminds us to obey God, because the future is much better than the present. Some people say, oh man, I'm happy with the present. But Paul is saying, you haven't seen anything yet. I marvel, and I'm sure that maybe you marvel at the physical. But if you marvel at the physical today, be patient, be obedient, and be loving, and wait until you behold the spiritual. We are going to experience something that really, I know tonight, I'm not even getting close to telling you what is in the future. Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter, he's saying, wait and see. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gives us what? We started this message out by talking about victory living. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes our members of the church, they kind of envy those in the world. They say, well, look at that. They're doing all that, and it looks like they're having a good time, and they're getting away with it. No, they're not getting away with anything. And when we're faithful to the Lord, when we live the Christian life, we at the end will have the victory. Christians need to understand that our bodies will be resurrected. And I am amazed, brother, I am amazed at how many in the church do not understand that this old body, your body, is going to be resurrected. The word resurrection means to stand up again. Your body is going to stand up again. Yes, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, and it will be changed. It's going to stand up. Jesus, he wasn't like Casper the ghost. His body, his physical body, stood up. The tomb was empty. We're going to have our bodies. We're going to be resurrected. But then the Bible says, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You can't blink your eyes fast enough to see that change, but that body's going to stand up, or there would not be a resurrection. Our bodies then, at the judgment day and all, when we are accepted up with Christ, our bodies are going to be changed to a glorious body, like the body of Jesus. Paul lived in complete anticipation of Christ's return. Because the Apostle Paul was living so completely in anticipation of Christ's return, I believe that we can safely say that the good things Paul is commenting about is not of this world. We need to think of the future. We need to anticipate the joy of our hope. This congregation right here at Tanner, you know, this congregation, you need to have heaven on your mind. And you'll be a greater congregation. If you keep heaven on your mind, it will control the way you think and the way you live. You know, I want to say to Tanner tonight, reach out. Reach out and embrace the joy of your hope. Nothing concerning God makes any sense to us in this world if we do not believe in a life beyond this one. The Christian faith doesn't make any sense. Nor does life in general make any sense. Nor does the belief in a loving God make any sense without the belief that there is a life beyond this one. The Apostle John said, do not love the world. He said it in these words, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For he who loves the world, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Jesus said these words. He said, what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul. John and I heard Gene Stallings speak recently, just before, just over here at Florence, speaking for Rogersville Chamber of Commerce, and he made a speech, and he was talking to people basically that were not Christians. This was an audience of people who weren't members of the church. But Gene Stallings leaned out there, and he said, the only thing that really matters is if you go to heaven to be with God. And that man is dead right. You see, a lot of people are doing a lot of things. They're getting caught up with this world, and they're forgetting God. The Apostle John says, do not love this world. Jesus said, what does it profit if you gain the whole world? Paul summed it up when he told the Colossians. He says, set your affection, that is, set your mind on things that are above. Colossians 3 and verse 2. We should never worry about those things in the future. If we love God and we keep His commandments, I think Dixie's heard me say this once or twice in my preaching and teaching and in my life, everything is going to be all right. If you love God and you obey His commandments, you listen to me, everything is going to be all right, because that's what God wants us to do. If we do this, if we love God and we keep His commandments, we can stand up and we can say, wow, the future is great. It's going to be great. We can and we should learn to cast our anxieties upon Him. Listen, too many of us worry, and all of it, we're human, and we worry, and we get this anxiety, and sometimes we get all torn. Listen, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? It says, because He cares for you. Hey, God cares for Demar. I need to just turn it over to the Lord instead of thinking that I can handle it. I'll be the one. I'll have to work this out. We can and we should learn, it's not easy, to cast our anxieties upon Him. By doing so, we can have the peace of God that passeth understanding. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm asking you, do you deep down have in your mind and heart the peace of God that passeth understanding? Philippians 4 and verse 7. We can be assured because of the joy of our hope that all things are working together for good. We know the passage. We've heard it many, many times. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Now, do you believe that? Do I believe that? Instead of going like this, we need to say, hey, everything's going to work out. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. At the end of the day, even if it's tragedy and maybe death or sickness, God is with us. And He will help us through the turbulent times of our lives. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Somebody said, Brother Demar, that's a real old-timey saying. We've heard that all right. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Hey, listen, that's just as magnificent and powerful today as the day it was first uttered. Because God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, holds the future. Then a fourth point I want to make in this lesson is crossing the river of death with joy and hope. All of us are going to cross the river of death unless we hear that shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. If we don't hear that shout, then we're going to die. Every one of us. It's coming to every member of the human family. One man said to another, he said, tell me frankly, do you dread crossing the river of death? The other man replied, Why should I be afraid? He said, my father owns the land on both sides of the river. Oh, I love that. My father owns the land on both sides of the river. Why should I be afraid? Sometimes it's hard to think about heaven without thinking about the remark that Mark Twain made. Mark Twain said, the only reason I want to go to heaven is because of the climate. And he said, and because most of my friends are going to be in the other place. Well, Mark Twain was known for humor. The story is told of a little boy and his dad who were walking through a cemetery one day. And the little boy's imagination, it took over. And so he said to his daddy, he said, Daddy, he said, is Granddad still down there in that dark old grave? His imagination was running wild. His daddy could see. And he said, no, son. He said, Granddaddy's not there. Granddaddy's gone on to be with his old friends and with his family. So once again, little boy, oh yeah. So the little boy's imagination began to run wild with him again, and it took over, and so the little boy was thinking he could see Granddad, listen, cane and all. As Granddad was walking up to the pearly gates, And the little boy was imagining that as his granddaddy got close to the pearly gate, somebody said, there was a big crowd of people there, and somebody said, hey, look who just showed up. And then Granddad heard the words, welcome. And then the little boy imagined that somebody said in the crowd, come on in and join us. And the little boy, in thinking about this, he just smiled from ear to ear thinking like that. But for some people, such faith is too much like pie in the sky by and by. And you know, when you can't have a faith like this little child, and you can't imagine what the Bible is saying about going into that celestial home, the heaven, the home of the soul, my heart breaks and aches for people who don't have the hope and the joy and the faith that you have and that I have. It's sad. My heart goes out to them. You see, they have missed the joyous good news and the hope we have. They've missed it. We've got good news. You've heard me say, when I go into these foreign lands, sometimes when I get up, my first word, I go, hey, hey! And they go like this. I say, I'm a good news preacher. Because it is good news. Redemption, salvation, God's love for us. Oh, it is good news indeed. Belief in a loving God demands a belief in completion. We will not be complete. We live in an incomplete universe. The Apostle Paul said these words. He said, if for in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. What I'm saying tonight is we enjoy a foretaste. We anticipate the future as we cling to our faith. So I say to you, Tanner Church of Christ, cling to your faith. Don't let anybody make fun of you and your faith. They want to run you down about having faith and mock you and ridicule. Just smile and just cling to that faith. It was the Greek philosopher Plato who taught that we live in a world that is but a shadow of a better world. Plato, he made this argument. The physical world was the best evidence that there was the existence of a spiritual world. Well, that's an appealing argument. That's terrible. Everything's going to be all right. Yeah. And so I'm going to pick up the pace. So, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible has another view about that. That we, the Hebrew writer knew that reason alone, the Hebrew writer knew that evidence alone, that argument alone could not bring a person to obey God. Therefore, the Hebrew writer did not say that this world is evidence of a better one, but he did say these. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things are seen are not made of the things that are visible. You need to look at that verse real carefully. That is an amazing verse. Hebrews 11, 1 and Hebrews 11, verse 3. The Hebrew writer makes it clear that it is only by the Spirit of God that we can come to know God. In other words, our anticipation grows out of our faith, not vice versa. Faith doesn't grow out of anticipation. Our anticipation grows out of our faith. Because He lives, then we can live. This is true in this world, and it will be true in the world to come. Listen carefully. If we persevere with our faith intact, we shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, the joy of our hope. I hope I can complete this message. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, 28 to 30. One of our biggest problems today is that we are impatient. Steadfastness and endurance are lacking. Do you have steadfastness? Do you have endurance to run this race we're running? We need to be careful and not let our faith waver. We foresee, sometimes people foresee an imaginary death. They're looking ahead, they think they're going to die. And so when they think they're going to die, they become afraid and they lean heavily on God and they cry out for deliverance from God. But time passes, they get better, and guess what passes? Fear passes. And then they go right back to doing what they were doing. Isn't it sad that some people have a God of bad times and not a God of good times? Do you have a God of bad times? And by that I mean when bad times come, you say, "Oh God," you know, 9/11. Man, the interstate highways around Atlanta and the big cities, they were jam-packed. It was like a parking lot on Sunday after all that happened. People going to church. But guess what happened? Time passed. Fear passed. And they went right back to doing what they were doing, and they forgot God. And the interstates are empty now, basically on Sundays, in comparison speaking. You need a God of the good times as well as a God of the bad times. It's a shame that some aren't faithful unless they feel an urgent need for God to deliver them from some problem. What a pity. They're missing the joy of the hope that we enjoy. With true faith in God, we can always say, listen, I hope you leave here tonight and you go out to your car. I hope you'll just say this. I hope you'll say, "Wow, the future's great." I want you to go away with that in your heart tonight. The joy of our hope, it allows us a foretaste of what is to come. We can anticipate the future as we cling to our faith. Just imagine tonight that the world, that they built an enormous computer and they put all the information that there is in the world into this computer. And then all the scientists of the world were involved in this. And then they asked the question to the computer. And they put it in the computer. How did this world really come into existence? And so the computer, ping, 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 after searching for the information, it printed out this answer. See Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I believe if such a computer existed and we were to put the question in there about the future, I believe it would print out this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Paul is saying to us tonight, brethren, be patient and wait and see. I can just imagine Paul saying to some up in heaven, "I told you so. I told you." Heaven is a perfect place in that no sin will be allowed there. Revelation 21, 27, but there shall by no means enter into it anything that defileth, neither or causeth abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No one who would mar the beauty and the sinlessness of heaven will be allowed to be there. Heaven will be a perfect place where there will be free of tribulation. I'll try to wrap this up. Can I maybe have another minute? Revelation 21, 4, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. How beautiful heaven must be. I want to go to a place where there are no tears, where there is no death, there is no sorrow, there is no crying, and by all means, there is no pain. We need spiritual wisdom, and I'm not going to have time to read that. Look at Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. It's Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. We need to pray for spiritual wisdom, and he talks about the blessed hope. And we need to understand this from Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. The Bible says we have an anchor for our soul. Do you know what that anchor is? The anchor for your soul is hope. Hope of being with Christ. Hope of being in heaven. I'm going to have to stop because the bell has rung. But take this passage down, please, and read it at home. This was at the end, 1 John 3, 1 to 3. Hope causes us to purify ourselves just as He is pure. You'll purify yourself because of your hope. The hope and joy that we've discussed tonight, it is only for those who are Christians. God bless you. Thank you for listening.